What our next guest wanted was a decent job with normal hours, but what she got was anything but that. For years, Adele Levine was a physical therapist inside the Walter Reed Army Medical Center, which treated soldiers throughout the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan before it was closed in 2011.
And that meant treating young military personnel with debilitating combat injuries, both physically and emotionally. While the experience for her, her colleagues, and her patients was often intense, consuming, and heartbreaking, she says the atmosphere there was also filled with incredible camaraderie and, in some cases, unlikely comedy. In a new book, she details the story of her time at Walter Reed and shows a side of war not often seen.
Adele Levine is the author of Run, Don't Walk, The Curious and Chaotic Life of a Physical Therapist Inside Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Adele, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, the first question I have for you is the obvious one. Why was this a book that needed to be written? Why did you feel the need, after your time there, to do more than just walk away with some good stories that you could tell to your friends and family?
Oh, I felt that the history of Walter Reed was a really important part of American history, and I wanted to, I didn't just want to see those gates closed without people knowing what happened while we were there. You know, Walter Reed was America's oldest Army hospital. It treated soldiers from every single major war we were in, from World War I forward, and I sort of thought it was, you know, kind of incredible that I was there, and, you know, here we were sort of the last chapter, and I don't know, I didn't want to forget it just for myself personally, and I wanted to create a snapshot in time.
So tell me about your path to Walter Reed. As a physical therapist, you could have gone any number of places. Why there?
I had moved into an apartment across the street, and I was signing the lease, and my landlord knew I was a physical therapist, and she just assumed I was working at Walter Reed. She pointed it out to me, and she was like, "Oh, so you're working over there, right?" And I was like, "No, you know, but I probably should."
And so you literally walked across the street, and one thing led to another?
Well, I sent my resume in.
Sure.
And it didn't happen right away, and actually by the time I started working there, I had a bad flood in my apartment, and I lost my nice basement apartment. I had to move out.
But you still got to come back and work across the street.
Yeah, I did.
So at the time, Walter Reed, as you mentioned, had a storied history. At the same time, in the 2000s, and I think around 2007 or so, it also had some pretty significant challenges in terms of funding. There were, I think, some neglect cases there and so on. So it was really kind of a mixed bag. You had a lot of great legacy there, but a lot of challenges at the same time.
Well, you know, I worked in the amputee clinic. But you have to keep in mind that Walter Reed was also, in a way, also a large workman's comp facility. And they processed many, many soldiers coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, many of whom, you know, wanted to stay there because while they were there, they got premium pay or whatever. So there was, you know, there were people who were had things to gain by certain stories. You might want to look into the patients that they featured in those stories. You know, I can't speak to it. I'm not an administrator, so But I can say that I thought that the care that we gave at Walter Reed was incredible. I remember having a bad kidney stone and just wishing I could have been treated at Walter Reed.
So when you went to work at Walter Reed, as you mentioned, you worked a lot with amputees. And was that assigned to you, or was that an area that you chose to explore?
Oh, I didn't choose it. When I first started working at Walter Reed in 2005, I was in the outpatient clinic, and that was really where I wanted to be. And I did that for about 2.5 years, and I was starting to feel kind of burnt out. And, you know, I went to talk to the colonel, and I told her I was feeling, you know, really kind of run down, and I thought that maybe I would apply for another job. And she told me to take a week off of work and go downtown and do, like, a staycation. And you know, we're in D.C., so she told me I should go to all the museums. And I thought she was just crazy, you know. But, you know, so I took the week off, And I went and I saw all the museums, and then I came back to work on Monday, and she pulled me into her office, and she just said she was moving me into the amputee section.
And there you go. And in that section, you met a lot of people that stayed with you and wound up in this book. And a lot of them, of course, very young soldiers, a lot of them maybe in their early 20s, coming home with severe injuries and emotional distress as well. And the one, maybe a good example of it, is this young man named, nicknamed, I guess, Cosmo. And he used a particular word that we cannot use here on public radio, but his vocabulary was somewhat limited, but it's a terrific story, and I'm wondering if you'd share that.
Oh, sure. I mean, well, straight up, Cosmo was made up of three patients that I saw, and there were there was a Cosmo that I treated in the ICU, and then one in the outpatient clinic, and later one at the end of the book who decided to amputate his second leg. You know, when you're a physical therapist, you see hundreds and hundreds of patients, you know, and hopefully you have a long career. And after a while, you get really good at recognizing certain personalities. And I just felt like, you know, at Walter Reed, we had, you know, there are many, many stories out there about people overcoming difficult situations and triumphing. But I felt that it was also important to share a story of someone who isn't necessarily triumphing at the time because they're kind of stuck with where they are now. And I felt like Cosmo, and again, I work in a hospital, so I have to protect patient privacy. The three men that made up Cosmo really fit that bill. You know, they were having a hard time, and a lot of their difficulties were just within themselves. They were going to do what they were going to do, and they sure weren't going to listen to me. And they were angry in a way, and also they had a lot of spunk. You know, most of the injuries that we saw early in the wars were single-leg amputees. And, you know, Cosmo was a single-leg amputee when he came into the hospital, but he had very typical injuries of a Walter Reed patient in that the other leg was completely destroyed. And that was the leg that they would refer to as the intact leg in the medical chart. And his intact leg was really shattered in many pieces, probably eight pieces. He had what they call external fixators, which are kind of like metal cages or scaffolding that goes around the leg and has pins that go into the bone and hold the broken pieces together. And you would see back then at Walter Reed, you would see many, many patients who had one amputation and then the other leg was sort of encased in these external fixators. And, you know, it was funny. Well, it wasn't funny. I mean, it's not funny, but it was the intact leg, that shattered leg, that usually gave them the most grief. Later on, many of them chose to have that other side amputated just because they had such difficulty with it. As the wars went on, we saw fewer and fewer patients with an intact leg because, you know, by 2010, 2011, most of our patients coming back were missing both of their legs, but at that time in 2009, when Cosmo came in, he had one leg and he had one amputated leg and the other one was encased in scaffolding to hold it together.
Now, in the minute or so that we have left, you know, the book that you wrote shows us a piece of war that a lot of people never really see. You see the headlines and you know, the coming home ceremonies, but you don't see this side of it. So keeping that in mind, what do you hope people take away from your story?
Well, a couple things. One is I think it's important for people to realize just how many people are behind the scenes in getting these young men and women, you know, back on their feet again. And it's often, you know, it's not just the medical staff, but I would say that, you know, everybody at Walter Reed really pitched in. There was a great deal of pride there. I mean, from the cafeteria lady who called everyone baby and sweetie to, you know, the people who worked in the gift shop. And also the patients and their families. It was a real team effort. And the other thing I would like to say is that I feel like, in a way, that my book is kind of a metaphor for this country at large, where, you know, we are going through a difficult time, and we were going through a difficult time back then, of course, at Walter Reed. But our clinic was kind of a microcosm of America. We had patients and family members and staff members from all over America and from many, many different backgrounds. And we could have let our differences.
And I'm afraid, Adele, that we're running out of time, but thanks so much for that. That was Adele Levine, the author of Run, Don't Walk, The Curious and Chaotic Life of a Physical Therapist Inside Walter Reed Army Medical Center.